Session 2 of Pastoral Care Through Preaching. At the risk of sounding like a hypocrite, in the last session I mentioned a young pastor who frequently discovered previously unknown findings in the book of Ezekiel. Well, I want us to look at a passage in Ezekiel that provides a model for pastoral care, and this passage is instructive in pastoral preaching. The passage is found in Ezekiel 34, where the bad shepherds described are quite a contrast with the good shepherd Jesus has seen in John chapter 10. Our great shepherd of the sheep desires to equip us with everything good for doing his will, as Hebrews 13, 30 and 31 says. That includes having his heart, Jesus' heart, for the sheep. In Ezekiel 34, 4, indictments are leveled at the bad shepherds of Israel, who were busier feeding themselves than they were in feeding the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the crippled you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought out, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. Ouch! Talk about a bad job performance evaluation. In comparing the standards of Ezekiel 34:4, how do we rate? Is there strengthening and healing and binding and restoring and seeking and gentleness being shown in our interactions with our flocks? Do those qualities come through in our preaching? Let's go through Ezekiel 34:4 and look at keywords and ask our good shepherd to show us any bad shepherd tendencies. The word of the Lord to Ezekiel, "the weak you have not strengthened," contains a descriptive word. The Hebrew word kalah is spelled C-H-A-L-A, kalah, which means to be rubbed or worn, sick, weak, afflicted, sore, wounded. We find that in Strong's Concordance and in Vine's Dictionary. Do you know any rubbed, worn people? You know, people who just rode hard and put up wet. Have you ever felt rubbed, worn yourself? The not strengthened part of the phrase is the Hebrew kozak, that's spelled C-H-A-Z-A-Q, kozak, and it's to strengthen, help, repair, bind. And it has the word caulker as part of the definition, as in to caulk so as not to leak. Do you know any people who need caulking? Difficulties in life are pressing upon them, and they're leaking their faith, hope, and joy. The woman with the spirit of infirmity for 18 years who was there in the synagogue that day was like that. 18 years of being bent over and unable to strengthen herself, until Jesus stopped in the middle of his message and spoke the healing words, "Woman, you are freed from your infirmity." Then Jesus laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight, and she praised God. Luke 13, verses 10 to 13. In preaching with the pastor's heart, we get to do what Isaiah encouraged in chapter 35, verses 3 and 4. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, "Be strong, do not fear. Your God will come." The next phrase in Ezekiel 34:4, "the sick you have not healed," has the same word kalah, but it's rapha that has not occurred. Rapha, R-A-P-H-A, is an interesting word. It's used 65 times in the Old Testament, with the first time coming in Genesis 20, verse 17, where Abraham prayed and God healed Abimelech, and also Abimelech's wife and female slaves and their children. Rapha is defined as to heal, to mend, cure, make whole, restore to normal. The word is found in a variety of passages like Psalm chapter 6, verse 2, "O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled." Or in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "Heal our land," and Hosea 6:1, "that he may heal us." Because the Lord is our healer, as Exodus 15:26 says, our preaching must point to the great physician. That man with the dropsy in Luke 14 was glad Jesus came his way, and our people will be glad when we offer that healing word to them. A healing word, like Psalm 107, verse 20, "He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from destruction." How many of our people are doing what verse 19 describes there in Psalm 107? Crying to the Lord in their troubles. Well, are we offering them a healing word? The third phrase in Ezekiel 34:4 speaks to the sorry shepherds, the broken you have not bound. Well, do you know any broken-hearted people? Have you ever felt broken-hearted, disappointed, discouraged yourself? What word from the Lord helped you in that time? Here the key words are shabar and kabash. Shabar, S-H-A-B-A-R, means to burst, to break, to shatter, to smash, to crush. Well, kabash, C-H-A-B-A-S-H, is to wrap like a turban or a compress. As you know, if you've ever broken a bone, to bind helps protect while giving time to heal. About 6 weeks, the physician usually says. Well, Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to those who are brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And Psalm 147:3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Part of the stated mission of Messiah is to bind up the brokenhearted, as Isaiah 61 states, and as the good shepherd takes over in the remainder of Ezekiel 34, where he says, "I will bind up the injured." Like that grieving mother in Nain in Luke 7, chapter 7, we stand weakly before people who are brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. Our words of encouragement are like a bandage around their wounds. Wrap these words around your people. Surely there is a future and your hope will not be cut off. Proverbs 23:18. Returning to Ezekiel 34:4, notice the next phrase, "The strayed you have not brought back." Now what kind of shepherd would not go after straying sheep? A poor shepherd, that's for sure. But these were not just little Bo Peep wandering sheep. The next phrase in this verse concerns them. They were pushed away sheep, expelled sheep, driven out by the shepherd sheep. "Hit the road, Jack, don't come back," kind of sheep. Now what shepherd would do that? Well, with every eye closed and every head bowed, let's have a show of hands. Yes, there are some sheep we just as soon see in another flock, but let's be careful not to nadach them. Here's N-A-D-A-C-H. Nadach means to push off, to expel, to drive out. Vine's dictionary comments on nadach in Deuteronomy 4, verse 19, where it says, driven away to worship them. The implication seems to be that of an inner drivenness or drawing away, as well as an external force being involved. You may recall the news story of post-abortive women on the steps of the U.S. Capitol telling their stories of how many of them were literally driven to the clinic where they were forced by a father or a mother or a husband or a boyfriend or a peer to have an abortion. Jeremiah 40, verse 12, speaks of the people returning from all the places to which they had been driven. While most of the driven away people are not in front of us anymore, there are people in our congregations who do not feel loved or accepted or really welcomed. Pastoral preaching seeks to shub these people, S-H-U-B. Shub means to return, bring back, restore. The woman who poured the alabaster flask of ointment on the feet of Jesus and who wiped his feet with her hair was a woman the Pharisee host wanted to drive away. What sort of woman is this? She's a sinner. But Jesus restored her. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Luke 7:47. Is our preaching a ministry of restoration? Jerry Cook's book, Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness, tells story after story of people other churches had given up on or had rejected. Well, aren't you glad that God did not give up on you? The fifth phrase of Ezekiel 34:4, "The lost you have not found," concerns for us as preachers, not just the ones who have wandered away and who are not out there any longer in the congregation, but those whose minds are wandering. Attention is given to sermons when the preacher seeks to continually connect with the people. And what better way than to show the right now relevance of God's word for people? The seeking and saving that which was lost nature of the ministry of Jesus, Luke 19:10, must characterize our preaching as well. All bad, A-B-A-D, to wander away, to lose oneself, describes the lost yet still part of the faith community of many people. Zacchaeus was still part of the Jewish community, a son of Abraham, Jesus called him. Yet there, here was one who was lost, one who had wandered away. losing himself in the pursuit of wealth by working for the hated Roman government. The shepherds of Ezekiel's day had failed to balkash, that's B-A-Q-A-S-H, balkash, to search out, to strive after. Now, what deliberate efforts are we making in our sermons to search out those who have wandered away and in the process lost themselves? Verse 4 of Ezekiel 34 concludes with the indictment. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, as the NIV says, while the King James Version uses the words with force and with cruelty. Does not the very style and demeanor of many pulpiteers smack of harshness and brutality, forcing down the ears what is supposed to be good news? But what comes across as shouting, screaming, stomping on the devil theatrics. In a preaching workshop I offered, the Philippians 4:8 verse, think on these things, used that as a model for checking our motives in preaching. And a young pastor replied, that may be well and good, but my people don't think I'm really preaching, and yes, I'm yelling, and unless I'm yelling at them. Well, I don't think Jesus yelled the Sermon on the Mount. It's hard to yell, blessed are the poor in spirit, or to yell a good story like telling about a man who built his house on sand. Certainly our emotions enter into our efforts to communicate, but not screaming or some other histrionics, merely to conform to a style the people in a warped way seem to like. This word, is spelled C-H-O-Z-Q-A-H, C-H-O-Z-Q-A-H, ka, is defined as a negative word, vehemence, force, to repair sharply. The word is used in 1 Samuel 2:16, where the sons of Eli were going to take the sacrificial meat by force. What are we trying to force on our people? Church growth experts have found the growing years of a church often do not occur until the pastor's seventh year of being at a place. There's a connection between establishing trust and the church growing. Similarly, P-R-E-K, perek, cruelty is to break apart, fracture. The cruel shepherds broke the spirits of the sheep with severity and harshness. Pastoral preaching is in it for the long haul. Eugene Peterson, in The Contemplative Pastor, tells about making the decision early on in his ministry, pastoral ministry, that he did not want a church of over 300 people, as he wanted to personally know the people in his church. His wider ministry to the church at large through his version of the Bible, the Message, and other writings has been a validation from the Lord on taking a pastoral approach to preaching. Certainly pastors of churches over 300 may preach in a pastoral manner, but have to make sure there's a network of caring co-ministers through cell group leaders and others who are helping to keep the senior pastor informed about what's taking place in the lives of the people. And we'll say more about this, about ways of keeping informed later on in this course. Again, as shown by George Herbert and his love for the people, even while preaching, a strong message can be preached, yet still be offered in a loving manner. I once heard Dr. Tom Carruth of Asbury Seminary say that he did not want anyone to say he didn't love them after he died. Well, that's a noble goal. That includes preaching in a manner that allows the love of Jesus in our hearts to come out. It is later in Ezekiel 34 that the showers of blessing phrase is found. You see that in verse 26. Well, what a beautiful description of the preaching of the Word of God. A time when showers of blessing are being poured out on the assembled people of God, people and pastor alike. Pastoral preaching that strengthens the weak and offers healing and binds the broken and searches for the driven away and seeks the lost and is offered lovingly is desperately needed today. That's the kind of preaching a one-woman congregation received one day at a well in Samaria. Her reaction: come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And the people came out of the town and made their way toward him. John 4:29-30. Maybe when our people hear that kind of preaching, they'll do that kind of witnessing.